Well, hello, and we welcome you back once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washing Word. Friends, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know who we are. We're the hand car wash business located on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're over there in the Powell Shopping Center, and we've opened up this car wash. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we did this so that we could give a unique opportunity to bring God's Word into the public ear outside of the typical four walls of the church. And that's just a quick nutshell of what this business is about. And so how that works is we bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. You can hear them Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 AM radio here in this area. You can also, when you come by the Washing Word, if you're anywhere in the parking lot or the vicinity of the building, you turn to 107.1 FM. And what we do is we take these five verse-by-verse teachings and we play them on a loop continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This way, anytime that you are in the area and you want to hear a word from God, it's available to you. You don't have to wait for your favorite preacher or show to come on the radio. You don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday to go to church to hear the Word of God. Anytime you need a word, you come by the Washing Word and you can hear it, again, by going to 107.1 FM. And so what we do is we go through entire books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, until we are finished. We are currently in the book of 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 7. And if you haven't been listening or you've missed a few sermons or teachings, you can go to the washandword.com website. That is wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can find out all the information you need about this business, about the ministry. And of course, you can download and listen to all of our archived audio messages free of charge. And we encourage you to do that and to share them. That being said, come on by the Washing Word. Let us earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. That's how we support it. We work and we use the money that we earn here to keep this ministry and this business going. So if you are in support of verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is so important, even more so now as we see the days approaching, then come on by, support us, let us work to earn what it takes. All right, back into 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul, you know, much of this letter so far, and again, if you haven't caught any of the teachings or you missed a couple, go to washandword.com on the media tab and you can hear them. But he's been dealing mostly about sexual relationships and sexual immorality. And so the remaining verses in chapter 7, Paul is going to teach us how to handle difficult circumstances within those areas, but also principles that apply to much of life, you know, principles that are outside of just the sexual arena that he's been dealing with in the good portion of this letter. And so a good transition from the 6.5 chapters on relationships, as he now begins to move into other trouble areas that not only the Church of Corinth was undergoing, but we as well. And we know this transition takes place here. And in verse 17, he says this: "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned him to and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all of the churches." And so, the verses that are following are a universal teaching. That's why he says, nevertheless. He's kind of making a transition here. So rather than preach and teach on a subject that is just for a select few, if you remember in our last message, we were talking about, you know, people that are single, who have chosen to be single or have been widowed, you know, not by choice, obviously, but they find themselves in a single relationship. Again, that's a teaching for a select few. And rather than just focus on that, we're going to look at some spiritual applications that are much more universal and could apply to much larger group of people. And so Paul's teaching here is simple. He says, whatever you are going through, whatever lot has befallen you, wherever you are, God is not surprised, and he actually worked it out to be that way. Okay, now that's a good word to remember, because, excuse me, most of life is us going through something, isn't it? Most of life is a lot or a time period that has befallen you. Most of the places we are questionable or there are a struggle. But listen, God is not surprised. And in fact, he's actually worked it out so that it would be that way. And to wit, I can only hear the sarcastic tone of the reply of such a statement would be probably something along the lines of, well, gee, God, thanks a lot. You know, have you ever been there? You look at your life and, you know, it's a mess and things are going wrong and, you know, you just can't figure out why everything is happening the way it's happening. And then you find out or you read something like we just read that God is not surprised and he actually worked it out for it to be that way. And we reply again sarcastically, gee, thanks a lot, God. Now, God is always working behind the scenes. You know this, right? He's always arranging things. He's always plotting things. Everything's connected to something else. And despite our many bad choices in life, because God is who he is, he works all this out for such a time as this. So in other words, what you are going through right now might be for you, might be for somebody else. It might be part of a much larger plan that God is organizing. In Romans 8, 28 and 29, an often quoted verse, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But what's often left out on that verse that's quoted so often is verse 29, which says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so by reading those two verses, we come up with a simple conclusion that whatever we're going through, God is working it all out for good, A, and B, the reason is to be conformed into his son's likeness. And let's face it, most of us are so ignorant and so stubborn and so blind and so prideful that it takes a drastic action or season of life to derail us from our current path that we're on. And again, for the ultimate goal of becoming more like Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And again, we see a connection between God calling us into our particular lot in life or season with the faithfulness and fellowship that we have with Jesus. So conformity and fellowship, this is God's desire. This is what it means to be in his likeness and for him to dwell with us. And so the majority of this letter, you know, in 1 Corinthians, there's a big shift here in the middle of chapter 7 as to how Paul begins to address certain things. Remember, the first seven verses were almost exclusively related to sexual references in one way or another. And so the majority of this letter has so far has dealt with fellowship, mostly in the removal of fellowship with God because of those immoral acts. But for many people, sexual matters are a great hindrance. Can I get a shameful amen? I know you won't, but you know, all of the different aspects of the life of sexuality within a person have so many side roads that can derail us from the path and the plan that God has us on. And the other great hindrance is conformity. You know, what is the greatest tool God has in transforming his children into the image of Christ? Someone might answer, well, it's blessing as God blesses us and doles out things to us and gives us our best life now, as it were. Isn't that the greatest tool God uses to transform us? Not even close. Is it the kindness that we, or the prosperity that we endure? No, it's none of that. What is it? What is God's greatest tool in transforming his children into the image of Christ? Friends, it's trial. It's pain. It's the refining and the wounding. You see, it's the devil that uses those other things to draw us away. But God uses those painful times, those trials, to bring us into the image of Christ. Paul says, where you are, right now, right there, God has a plan. And if you will let him, the result of that plan will be the conformity into the image of Jesus. Now that I should be able to get a victorious amen out of you. In verse 18, Paul says, was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he called? He should not be circumcised. What Paul is talking about here obviously applies to the Jewish act of circumcision. And what the Jews in that town, in the city of Corinth, were actually trying to do is they were either trying to hide what they already had done in their circumcision, or they were trying to have the surgery or have it reversed. They were, and, you know, the Greeks were trying to get circumcised. The Jews were probably trying to hide the fact that they were. And again, what Paul is saying here is it's not about any of that stuff. The bottom line is it's about an outward show or appearance. Because listen, the work that God is doing in us, for the most part, it's an inner work. It's a personal work. And it's the fruit of that inner and personal work that shows in the public eye, in the outward appearance, in the flesh and in the eyes. But again, the real work is being done behind closed doors. And so on a sort of unrelated note, I heard it said once that scars are the evidence of pain. Scars are the evidence of pain. So don't be ashamed or try to hide them. And if the scar is the result of a sin or a bad choice, God says we can turn that around. We can use that for good. We can take that mistake you made and we can use it to help somebody else who might be going through or struggling with the same problems. And if the result is a unfortunate circumstance, that is, we have innocent scars, they are the scars of no particular doing, well, God says the same thing. Glorify God by it. You remember in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 27, it says, now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then, verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Friends, Isaiah says that by his stripes we are healed. And your battle wounds, however they were attained, whether it was through stupid actions and sins, or it was just the way that God orchestrated your life at that time and you endured those battle wounds, use them. Use them to draw others to Jesus. And those scars, those battle wounds are not always physical. Many of them are emotional. Some of those are psychological scars, but it doesn't matter where the scar comes from or what type of scar it is. God says we can use all of that stuff and work it out for good. Well, we wind down this teaching. We'll pick it up again in verse 19 tomorrow when we pick back up again. I want to invite you out to the Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Sunday nights at 6 p.m. I do live verse-by-verse Bible teaching there. And, of course, you can come by the Wash and Word and turn on to 107.1 FM and hear them, hear the messages being played. And we encourage you to go to the website. If you have any questions, just go to washandword.com or call 423-920-0913. Have a blessed day.